Be honest with you, I didn't even have a message on my heart. I thought, well, it ain't God's will for me to preach tonight. I just had Brother Grant preach, and I was, but I left the house, and I started, in fact, I wrote this on the back of a funeral, someone's funeral there, just a thought God gave me coming over the road, and I feel confident it's what the Lord had had me to preach tonight out of Ephesians chapter 5. It's amazing how God can do that. You can have messages. You know, you got messages at home, you study, and sometimes they just sit there for months, you know, and weeks, and there's just no burden to preach them. And so, so I try to study ahead a lot of times to just keep up with schedules and things like that. But I always want to preach what's fresh is on my heart. And sometimes messages will just lay there, and they just, you know, not the right time. And then out of nowhere, God sometimes just gives you a thought and said, here's what I want you to preach on tonight. And so I'm going to break a homiletic rule, which I break a lot of rules of homiletics, but I've been studying for Bible college on homiletics, getting some things ready. And one type of sermon, I don't say much about sermon types to the church because you don't care, amen, but one type of sermon is a topical message, amen. And there's a big argument today out there somewheres with some preachers. They only preach expository sermons, but I noticed something about that. I noticed that a lot of their churches are dry and dead. The expository preaching is great. We got to have all of it, don't we? Amen. But you know, if you go back and you look at Spurgeon and Moody and Sunday and Lester Roloff was mentioned tonight, and just about every Brother Sammy Allen, every great preacher, you can think, Brother Mase Jackson, you know what they all preach? Topical sermons. They just took a topic and preached on it. And you know what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, first sermon he ever preached? It's a topical sermon. And then when he was on the road to Emmaus with the disciples, you know what? The Bible said he took them through the scriptures, just a topical sermon. So I figure if Jesus can preach one, then I can preach one tonight. Amen. And it's what the Lord laid on my heart. Just one verse of scripture. If you want to stand and stretch your legs, we'll read one verse of scripture and pray. A familiar text out of Ephesians 5, and then I'll give you the thought that God has laid upon our heart tonight. Ephesians 5 and verse number 25. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Notice this here. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Father, I ask you tonight to bless the reading of thy word. I want to thank you for the good singing, for the testimonies that were given tonight. Thank you for your presence that we feel in this place already. And Lord, I ask you now, if you would, to give us liberty to say what you've laid on our heart tonight. I pray that we'd be a blessing to the people of God, and I pray that we'd be an encouragement. I ask, Lord, tonight most of all that we would please you and honor you in all that will be said and done, and we'll love you and we'll thank you for what you do. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen, amen. You can be seated tonight. I know that you're familiar with Ephesians 5 and you're familiar with this verse here. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to really deal with a lot of the context tonight. We know that there is an admonishment here in verse number 25 for husbands to love their wives. And I think that's an important admonishment that we all should keep. Amen. As men, as God has given us a wife, we ought to be loyal and we ought to love them and we ought to be faithful to them all the days of our life and theirs. Amen. But in this text here, it is interesting that when Jesus deals with the husband and the wife relationship, Paul rather, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when he deals with the husband and wife relationship, he does come back in verse 32 and said, this is a great mystery, but notice what he said, I speak concerning Christ and the church. Amen. So even though there's this great admonishment for husbands to love their wives and for wives to be submissive to their own husbands, but the real context, the purpose and the meaning of the context is between Christ and the church. Amen. And so when we come back to our text verse tonight here, we notice that the Bible says, husband loves your wives even as Christ also loved the church. And I want to say tonight, I'm glad Jesus loves the church. Amen. I'm a church man tonight because Jesus is a church man. He loved the church.
And the Bible said, here's how much he loved the church. He gave himself for it. Amen. And I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject, on why I still love my local church. Amen. Why I still love my local church. I want to tell you, after 26 years of being in this same place, I still love Bible Baptist Church. Amen. I mean, I love the saints of God as a whole, but I'm not talking about everybody tonight. I'm talking about this place. I'm telling you, I thank God for this church tonight, and I'm glad that I can stand here and truthfully and honestly say to you tonight and publicly announce and say that after all these years, I still love my local church. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter tonight if you're a pastor or if you're a deacon. It doesn't matter. Listen, if you're a lay person, it doesn't matter if you're a Sunday school teacher or if you vacuum the carpet. It doesn't make no difference tonight who you are. If God saved you by his grace and he put you in a good, fundamental, independent, Bible-believing King James local church, you ought to thank God for it and you ought to love it all the days of your life. Hallelujah. Brother, I tell you, I love my home tonight, and I love my church. Amen. I thank God tonight for the home, and I thank God for the church tonight. And can I say, when it comes to loving our church, the Bible proves here that Christ loved the church. There's evidence in this verse. It's not just in word and tongue, but it's in deed and truth. He loved the church. Why? And we know that because he gave himself for it. Amen. And tonight there are ways that we can show that we love the church. You say, how? We can show we love the church by going, isn't that right? And I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, and so you're here, and thank God that's proof you love the church because you're here on Wednesday night. Now you could have stayed at the house and watched the ball game. You could have stayed at the house and done something outside or just sit on the couch and been lazy and watched it online, amen, which doesn't count when you're physically able to come. Can I get a witness right there? I'm telling you, listen, but when it comes here, listen, you're here on Wednesday night. I would assume because you want to be, not because you have to be. Amen. And we can say we love, there's a lot of people says they love the church, but they don't go to church. You know what I say to that? I don't believe that. Amen. I'm telling you, if you're able to go to church and you don't go to church, there's a love for the church waning somewhere, or it's never been there. But we prove our love by going, and we prove our love by giving. Amen. I would say tonight the greatest investment that I've ever made financially, it's not been in stocks or bonds, and I don't have any of them tonight. It's not been in oil tonight. It's not playing the stock market. Amen. I tell you, the greatest investment that me and my wife has ever made down through the years has been in our local church. Amen. I'm telling you, God has blessed us for giving tithes and offerings. He's blessed us for giving to missions. He's always gave back. No, we're not rich tonight, but we got more than we ever thought we'd have. And I'm telling you, I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about peace of mind. I'm talking about we could have been dead a long time ago, but he's kept us out of the hospitals. He's kept us healthy. He's kept our children healthy growing up. I know everybody, that's not their lot. And I'm telling you, if we got sick tomorrow, I'd still invest in the church. Amen. I'm telling you, but you know what? It pays dividends far beyond this world, because God knows every dollar we've ever gave to tithes and offerings. He knows every dollar we've ever gave to missions. We don't know what we've gave, but God has a record of that tonight. And can I tell you that, my friend, one of these days at the judgment seat, it will pay great dividends in eternity. Amen. We prove our love for the church by going, and we prove our love for the church by giving. That's Wednesday night. So I could say this, but I'd say it on Sunday morning. Might be more tempted to say it on Sunday morning. Amen. But have you ever noticed people that gripe about the money of the church? They either don't give or they give the least. The bare minimum. The tightwads are always the ones that are griping about everything. or the non, they don't give anything at all. Amen. I tell you, when I put my money in the offering plate, that money doesn't belong to me, it belongs to God. Amen. I'm telling you, when I put it in the offering plate, this is what I know the Bible teaches. God will bless me if I give it out of a right motive, if I give it cheerfully. I'm telling you, whatever the church does with it, listen, that's whatever happens beyond that point just happens. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, when we give, and we give out of a heart of cheerfulness and a heart of because it's worship and we love God, I'm telling you, friend, one of these days God is going to honor that. He honors it down here, but he's going to reward it in eternity. Amen. We love the church by our giving. We love the church by our gratitude. Amen. I mean, just coming to church happy because you're here. How many of y'all glad you're here on Wednesday night? Man, I'm glad to be here. You say, preacher, I'm tired. Well, I'm tired too. If I just be honest with you, amen. I didn't have no revival meetings this week. I thought, man, I'm going to get all kinds of things done and rest, you know. But I'll tell you what, I told my wife today, I said, man, I've worked harder this week trying to catch up than we have probably in 6 weeks. I'm just telling you, from daylight till dark. But normally that's the way it is. But I tell you, I'd rather be wore out and tired, wouldn't you? Be in a pew on Wednesday night in church as to be sitting at the house. Amen. I don't have no desire on Wednesday night to stay home and watch anything or listen to anything or go anywhere or do anything. I'm telling you, if you've ever been sick and had to stay home and miss church, I'm telling you, listen to preaching and singing all day long, but it seems like the longest day. I mean, you seem like you're isolated from the rest of the world. I'm talking about, why is that? Because we love the church, amen. And when you love the church, it proves in your gratitude, amen. I love church. I love everything about church. And then we prove it by our getting involved, don't we? I like being involved, don't you, in what's going on in the church. I've seen people get mad down through the years and they wouldn't get involved. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They'll answer God for that one day. But I'm not going to let somebody else's backslid state hinder me from getting involved. Isn't that right? I listen, some people say, well, I'm just not going to be as involved no more. Well, all you're saying is your love for Christ isn't what you thought it was. Amen. In other words, I'm not quitting the choir because I got mad at song leader. Amen. You know why? Because I don't sing for the song leader. Amen. I sing for Jesus. Amen. And I tell you, I'm not quitting the house of God because I got mad at somebody at church. Amen. Or somebody got mad at me. I'm telling you, if you got blistering mad at me and you come back Sunday, guess what? You're going to have to look at me another Sunday because I'm not staying home because you're mad. Amen. I'm going to be right there smiling, ready to shake your hand next Sunday and the Sunday after that and the Sunday after that. I'm telling you, I'm not letting other people dictate how much I get involved in the church. God's been too good to any of us. I'm not sitting on the sidelines because of somebody else. My eyes sitting on them. I tell you what we do, we're to do for God and the glory and the honor of God. And if we're doing it for him, then can't nobody make us quit. Amen. Now when people backslide, that's what happens to them. They start saying, well, I'm just not going to be as involved anymore. I'm going to tell you something. By the grace of God, this is my plan: to stay neck deep involved in the church till my dying day. Amen. Young people, you listen to me. You get involved and you're involved. You just stay involved. I mean, hey, if your best friend quits singing in the choir, you keep singing in the choir. If you look, you come in on Wednesday night and you look out and they're sitting out there somewhere, you just let them sit there. Amen. But you keep singing in the choir. You say, but my friend's not. It's not about friendship, amen. It's about serving Jesus, amen. I'm telling you, if somebody quits going to Sunday school, you don't take up of that and say, well, I'm going to quit going to Sunday school. All that means is you went to Sunday school for them. You know, realize that? If you say, well, I can't worship because so-and-so's singing, all that means is it's all about them, amen. I'm telling you, tonight I'm going to get involved in worship. I don't care who's doing the singing. I don't care who's doing the preaching. I'm telling you, if it's the truth, amen, I'm not amen in them. I'm amen in the truth. Amen. I'm amen in what's right. That's true tonight. And I know that's true because there's been times in my life when I've had to practice that. Been times when I knew some long-tongued Jezebel was running her mouth
Y'all still with me tonight? Said things about my wife. Said things about my children. Come in. Have to let her sing. You know what I didn't do? God gave me enough grace to mean it in my heart and amen while she sang. You say, why is that? Because I knew if I didn't, I'd get as backslid as she was. If she's even backslid, she might not even be saved. But I said, I can't let that happen. That won't be the first long-tongued Jezebel. Can I get an amen right there? And if I'm going to let that long-tongued Jezebel hinder my worship, I'm going to have to let the next one. Are y'all with me tonight? I'm just telling you, I've learned that down through the years. Now, you can believe it or not believe it. I'm telling you, I've learned down through the years, you just got to get over people and things. And I don't even know why I'm preaching that, but I feel real good about plowing that soil right now. Amen, Brother Laddie. I mean, I feel like I'm in fertile ground right now, plowing it up. But I found out down through the years, by the grace of God, I'm not letting anybody keep me, Brother Lamar, from getting involved in the work of God. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. If we're really not doing it because of people, then it ought to not make a difference anyhow. Amen. Now I'll tell you the other side of that too. You don't let them pats on the back change you neither, because you do it for Jesus. Well, that was my introduction. I still got 20 minutes of preaching. Y'all can handle that, can't you? I feel led to preach. I mean, I feel liberty to preach tonight. Why do I? I'll tell you why I still love my local church, and I think you'll agree with this tonight. I still love my local church because I have a Savior who loves the local church. That's a good reason to still love the church. Now you say, but the church isn't perfect. No, and I'm not neither, but He still loves me. You're not perfect, but He still loves you. But the church is not sinless. No. Church isn't sinless. If you was to look around Bible Baptist Church, you're going to find some sin in this church. We don't want it here. I'm telling you, I'm here and you're here. And we're sinners. And our best, guess what? We sin, but I'm glad He still loves us. This ain't a sinless church, amen. You're not going to find a sinless church. There's not a perfect church. I want to say this isn't a church that's arrived. There is no church that has arrived. You say, Brother Gravely, what do you say? I'm saying Jesus loves us tonight in spite of our imperfections, amen. He loves us in spite of our failures. He loves us in spite of our faults. He loves us in spite of our mishaps. He loves us when we come up short, amen. And what I'm telling you tonight is that He loves us. And if He can love me in the condition that I'm in, I can love the church in the condition that it's in. If Christ is going to love the church, I'm going to love the church because I'm a part of the church tonight. I love the church because, isn't that the way it is when you get saved? You love what the Savior loves. And He loves the bride. Now, some people say they're saved, but you couldn't hog time and get them to church. Hey, something wrong. We know we passed from death unto life because what? We love the brethren. And when you don't love the house of God, and you look for more reasons to miss it, and I know it's Wednesday night, but I just got to preach what's on my heart. But when people look for more reasons to not come than they do to come, then there's something wrong with them spiritually, amen? Maybe they've never been saved, or they're backslid on God. But I'm telling you tonight, if I was to quit church, and I bet most of you would agree with this tonight, if I was to walk out them doors and say, I'm not going to church anymore, or if I was to say, I'm not going to Bible Baptist, I'm going to go find me another church somewhere else, you know what I'd be tonight? I'd be out of the will of God's what I'd be. And guess what? I could go find another church, or I could quit altogether. Wouldn't really make no difference. But things would not be right. I'm telling you, God would make me miserable. God would wear me out. I'm telling you, I'd be unhappy Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You know why? Because listen, we're to love what Jesus loves. Amen. And I think about how He loves the church. I think about His loyalty to the church. I think about His labor for the church. I think about His life is given for the church. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're to be loyal to the house of God. We're to labor for the house of God. And we are to give our life to church. People say, them poor old Christians, they go Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Yeah, and we go revival nights. and Jubilee nights. And we got, I love when I was in, working on a public job, I'd go to church or go to work sometimes, and they'd say, hey, what'd you do with your time off? I said, man, we went to camp meeting. They said, what's a camp meeting? I said, that's where you go to church and you listen to singing and preaching from about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning till about 10 to 11, 12 o'clock at night. Boy, I'm telling you, they'd get bug-eyed, amen. They'd think I was off smoking dope somewhere and I got some bad weed doing it, amen. They say, you mean to tell me you took a vacation and you went to church for five mornings and five afternoons and five nights? I said, oh yes, and we couldn't get enough of it. We were sad when it was over with. I'm telling you, that crowd can drink all night, they can pervert all night, they can party all night, and they can spend all day at the lake and everywhere else, and then they think we're crazy. You know why? Because they don't love what we love. But I'm telling you, they can have what they got. Thank God, I'll stay with the church. I'll stay with the house of God. I love the church. I want to stay with the church. Hallelujah. I want to stay with the church, don't you? I'm talking about, I love the church tonight. I love my local church because the Savior loves the church. I'll tell you what else I love about the church. I love the saints. Don't you love the saints? When I look through that church directory, I think about the saints, from the youngest to the eldest. And I think about the saints tonight. I think about their fellowship and their friendship and their faithfulness. I appreciate you being faithful on Wednesday nights. I appreciate you coming to church and it not being about a preacher or not being about a person. I appreciate you being here. I know sometimes you come in and you're wore out and you're tired. But I thank you. I thank God that you come faithfully. You know, I mean, churches tonight, some churches don't have Wednesday night services because they've been looking for a reason to quit having. But I'm going to tell you, some churches quit having services for this reason. People just quit coming. Isn't that a sad commentary? It'd be hard for me to pastor a church where the congregation didn't want to come. Now, we don't have 100% tonight. I'll tell you, I appreciate people wanting to be in God's house. I'll tell you, we need Wednesday night church. I need it and you need it. Doesn't matter how tired we are. Doesn't matter what season it is. Doesn't matter what's going on. Our children need church. They need the house of God. I'm glad they're not on a ball field, amen, somewhere is playing Little League tonight, but they're in God's house, amen. I'm glad they're not out there stuck in a gym shooting basketball hoops tonight, but they're in God's house. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad you mothers didn't say, well, you got schoolwork, so you got to stay home. No, schoolwork will be fine, but you told them to put church first. I love the saints, don't you? I love to see their smiles. I love to see their faces. I mean, we thank God for every person here tonight. You say, well, some people are harder to love than others. That may be true, but guess what? It's also true about us, amen. I'm telling you, when I take a look at myself, I'm not an easy person to love, and you're not an easy person to love tonight. It takes grace for every one of us to get along. You realize that? And God's got enough grace, and if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we will love everybody in the church. Even that long-tongued Jezebel. Even those people. Deep in your heart, you don't appreciate the things they say and do, but you love them. For every person that ever left this church, I think you'll agree with this tonight. I wish they'd walk back through them doors today and get right with God. Wouldn't it be a blessing to see them? Oh, they might say things, but it's just because deep down they know it ain't about me or you. They know they're not right. But I'm going to tell you, go back down memories lane for a minute. There's a lot of people comes and goes, but think about the people stays. Look around this congregation tonight. And tonight, you know what we are? We're family. Amen. Amen. Our church is a family. And tonight, God's let us have a place together. He's brought us from all different walks of life. But ask yourself this question. I ask myself this question tonight. Where would I be if it wasn't for God putting me in this church? Where would my children be tonight? They're grown now, but they were married in this church, grew up in this church. It's the only place they've ever really known. outside ministry. Now think about raising them, and I think about when we brought them, boy, when we first came to this church, I mean, they were 2 and 3 years old, and there's 13 steps, you know, and I could put one in this arm, put one in that arm, and I told them right up them steps. Couldn't do that tonight. Time has made a change. And I think about down through the years, I thank God that, and we would have Sunday dinner, and when we had Sunday dinner, I'm going to tell you something, we never said anything negative to our children about their church. Amen. We wanted them to know that the people of God are the most greatest people you'll ever meet on earth. And you know that's true tonight, isn't it? You listen to me tonight, young person. Before you ever think about going out to this world, I just want you to know this. You're sitting among the greatest people you're ever going to know in this walk of life. The people of God. Tonight, I love the saints. I thank God for godly saints, men and women and brothers. And you know, I think we should call everybody brother and sister that are saved. I don't like it when somebody just calls somebody by their name. Well, if you're saved, call them brother. Isn't that right? If they're a brother, if they're a man, if they're a woman, call them sister. Isn't that right? And we give that title because it's scriptural, it's biblical, amen. We thank God for we're family. We're connected, birthed by the same spirit, washed in the same blood, headed to the same home, got the same father, amen. I'm telling you, seated from the same book, hallelujah. I'm telling you tonight, when you think about the church, I thank God for the saints. What a blessing they've been to us down through the years. Their testimonies, their prayers, their words of encouragement, their comfort tonight. I'm telling you, friend, thank God for the church. Hallelujah. I love the saints, and I love the songs. Don't you like the songs we sing? I like all them songs, scriptural songs, spiritual songs, songs about salvation and the second coming, amen. Songs about serving God, songs that magnify our Creator, songs that magnify Christ, amen. I'm glad we don't have songs here that sounds like it come out of a honky-tonk or a rock concert. No, we're not interested in that, aren't we? We like songs that have a melody that sounds heavenly, my friend, that sounds different from this world. We want to be different from this world, and we should be different from this world. And I'm telling you, we want songs that does not appeal to the flesh, but that, my friend, appeals to the spirit. Songs that glorifies God. Songs that talks about Calvary. Songs that talks about Him. Songs, my friend, that feeds our soul and sets the mood for the preaching of the Word of God. That encourages us to worship. I'm telling you, there's no music like God's music. Amen. I tell you, I can walk in a restaurant, or I can walk in a place of business, and they can play that filth, and they can play that trash, and it doesn't do anything for me. I was in a grocery store the other day. It's been about 3 weeks ago. And I never heard this in my life, Brother Lady, in a grocery store. But I was going down the aisle, and I never pay no attention. Usually it's some kind of elevator music or, you know, something, you know. I was going down the aisle, and all of a sudden there was a guy, and he was rapping. And I stopped, and I thought, in a grocery store? I mean, I don't know how you feel about that. I'm not for rapping anytime. Somebody say amen. But I'm talking about, I don't know, rapping and cheese just don't go together. And then the further I went down the aisle, I mean, it's just really irritating the life out of me. And finally, one of them workers, because I was on the aisle where he's got stocking, and I said, what's that about? He said, I don't know. He said, they started that last week. He had, like, he was aggravated. Can you imagine working? I mean, the guy sounded like he's just mumbling his words, you know. And I said, what is that? He said, I don't know. But I tell you, that didn't do anything for me. And all them songs, them country music songs, they don't do anything for me anymore. All them rock songs don't do anything for us anymore. But I tell you, when somebody starts singing Amazing Grace, when they start singing about being washed in the blood, when they start singing about on a hill far away, hey, something on the inside that connects with that, amen. I'm talking about it. Listen, it can be with music or without music, amen. I'm telling you, somebody can get up and just a cappella, and they can start singing Living by Faith. I'm telling you, there's a connection from this world to the next world, amen. I love the songs, don't you? I'd say don't mess with the songs, amen. We don't need to take Amazing Grace and drum it up. We don't need to beat it up. I'm telling you, it don't need to be spiteful.
Christ up. I'm telling you, just let it be sung the way it's always been sung. I'm telling you, it'll speak to your soul. I'm telling you, I still love my local church because I love the songs. Hallelujah.
I like them songs. Then I love the sermons. I like the sermons that teach me. Sermons that thrill me, that encourages. It's good to go to church and be encouraged, isn't it? And I like the sermons that trouble me. It causes me to do inventory and look at my life. I like them sermons that tear me up. Amen. How many of y'all like preaching on sin? Isn't that amazing that we like preaching on sin? Because we're sinners. And we shouldn't like preaching on sin, because if a preacher preaches on sin, guess what he's going to do? He's going to preach on my sin and yours. But when you get saved, isn't that amazing? When a preacher preaches on sin, he's always going to find something we're guilty of. But yet we'll hear it, we'll go to the altar, we'll repent over it. But then if something says, you want to go back and hear some more preaching, amen? In fact, I like good encouraging preaching, but I don't want to go to church where a preacher never preaches on sin, or he waters it down so much, amen, that it doesn't do anything, it doesn't irritate the flesh. I'm telling you, when a preacher preaches on sin, it ought to irritate the flesh, amen? I mean, it ought to really get under our flesh, amen? But I thank God down through the years, I was going through some old tapes, trying just to get some of them converted. I was going through some old tapes here the last few days, and I'd see this sermon, and I'd see that sermon. Man, I remember that message, amen. I pulled one out this morning, yesterday. I was going through some, I pulled out a tape by an old preacher. He's in heaven now, but he preached Sunday morning. He preached on what God thinks about nakedness. I said, I got to listen to that. And then I flipped it over, and you know what the PM service was? The sins of summertime. I said, I got to listen to that one too. Boy, I was going down through there. I found one old Brother Mays Jackson preaching on when he set your fields on fire. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, going down through them old sermons. That's what preachers did. They preached on sin a lot. Amen. They preached salvation. They had a burden for sinners. They preached Jesus is coming again. They preached on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then they preached on sin. Some of you look like you about had all you can take, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not done. You just hang with me. Amen. I'm talking about friend, even on a Wednesday night. Sometimes we just need to kick out of the traces a little bit and come to church. And sometimes we just need some preaching on sin. Hallelujah. That's right. I heard a message yesterday. Guy preached on giving God your garbage. And I mean, he blew out everything that moved. I said, praise God. This generation needs that. Kept us in the right way. I want to say tonight, I like those sermons. I've been listening to a lot of them old sermons, going back through them. Somebody mentioned listening to Lester Roloff. Used to listen to him every morning at 8 o'clock, WDYN. He'd come on Monday through Friday. Brother Roloff didn't have a homiletical sermon, but I tell you, he had something from God, didn't he? And what he preached had weight behind it. Brother, I tell you, the reason our churches are full of sin today is there's not enough preaching on it. And there's not enough preachers today that's walking with God like they used to. I know God still got men. And I thank God for those men. But if we have revival, we'll have to have repentance first. You realize that? Hey, if we have revival, we'll have to have repentance. And I'm talking about sin. Sin that just tears you up. Sin that preaching. Old Brother Lester Olaf, I found a tape by him preaching the other day when the mule walked on. Amen. And preached on Absalom hanging in that tree and rebellion and going against God, going against your parents, going against your pastor, how that God hung a hippie in a tree that day. And man, he preached against sin. I thought, man, that's the kind of preaching we still need. Amen. And I love that preaching, don't you? I like it long, like it short, like it loud, like it soft. Doesn't make no difference. I'm telling you, friend, if a man takes and preaches a whole chapter, if he preaches one verse, doesn't make no difference tonight. Whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. You know, preaching
preaching works on Wednesday night just like it does on Sunday morning. Amen. It'll fire you up on Wednesday night just like it'll fire you up on Sunday morning. I'm talking about preaching on sin. I'm talking about sermons. Preaching the word. Being instant in season, out of season. Reproving, rebuking, exhorting. Preaching will help you. Hallelujah. I feel so good in my soul right now. Brother, I'm telling you, thank God for old timey, Holy Ghost, heaven sealed, heartfelt preaching. Amen. You know what you got to do sometimes when you preach, Brother Laddie? Sometimes, you know, there's a little bit, and you just got to listen. You just got to back up and drop her in a lower gear and just plow. I mean, just plow. I mean, I'm trying to find the right a politically correct word, but you just got to plow her out. Amen. I'm not going to tell you what I wanted to say, but you just got to plow. Preaching on sin. Preaching. What preaching will do, it'll put us back in lines, what it'll do. Put us where we need to be at, where I need to be at. Oh, people that ain't right with God don't like preaching. They don't like it when a preacher preaches on sin. I'm going to tell you, there is no telling where we would be at tonight had it not been for some of them men of God. They didn't care what time it was. He didn't care who was sitting there. I don't care what time it is right now. And I don't care. I wouldn't care if the mayor was here. I'm going to preach the same sermon that God tells me. I was in a church. I don't tell you where it's at, but I was in this church. And I'm telling you, brother, when I walked in, I told my wife, I said, I do not fit this place at all. I said, you need to pray for me. And I knew what God laid on my heart to preach. And I said, Lord, I only got one way of preaching. And I don't know what I'm even here for. And what I got to preach, it ain't no Jubilee message. But it's what you laid in my heart. And I said, if you don't want me to preach, you let something happen. And but you know what? You just got to preach what God tells you to preach. And you sleep a whole lot better. You know, I'll tell you tonight, I had slept good last two nights, but I got a feeling I'm going to sleep real good tonight. I'm just telling you, I love my local church. I thank God. You think about this tonight, folks. You think about how blessed we are to have a spring jubilee. I mean, I don't even know how many states come. I had a man say that. He said, how much money does it cost? I said, you don't even want to know. And I don't want to tell you. But if you'd have told us 26 years ago, I said, no way, no how. There is no way, Brother Danny, no how we could ever do that. And we can't. But God has paid every one of those bills. A man in our area said one time, he sent word. He said, we took up an offering, it cost $20,000. He said, if I had to have a meeting that cost $20,000, he said, I wouldn't have one. And I told the person, told him, I said, I understand that. I said, because if the Bible had to have a meeting that cost us $20,000, we wouldn't have one. I said, but if God gives you a meeting, then God gives you the money to pay for it. Isn't that right? We're not having car washes. Amen. There's no rummage sales going on around here. That's right. We're not turning the fellowship hall into an indoor yard sale. Amen. We got to do that. We might as well fold up. Y'all with me tonight? That's in the context somewhere. You're going to have to go real deep to find it. Probably the Greek. Amen. But you'll get it. I'm just telling you tonight. Yeah, I look back and I look at the cost. I look at the people that's gotten saved. My soul. That's worth all the money in the world. I look at the people that I don't even know that comes up and says, everywhere they'll come up and say, will you tell your church? Well, if I told you, I'd tell you probably every week. Will you tell your church how much our family appreciates the spring jubilee? Will you tell your church? Me and my husband came to your meeting, was going to get a divorce.
And we didn't even know it, but in the altar at Spring Jubilee, about 2 years before coronavirus, God put their marriage, their home, to get back together. Will you tell your church that? Well, yeah, I'll tell them. I'm telling you, we've been blessed, haven't we? These ladies' meetings, all these women coming from all these places. You know why they come? Because they're desperate to get help. These pastors' wives bringing their ladies. They don't have what we have. And when I'm not scolding this tonight. I just want you to know, I thank God. He realized he could have done it anywhere he wanted to. He didn't even need us. But he let us have that here. He let us have a place here. We don't have to drive to a motel and we don't have to do none of that. No, it's just right here. We are so blessed, aren't we? I think about all the ladies that have spoke here, that Sister Kyla Rowland's in heaven now. Sister Linda Hicks. And a lot of others we could talk about down through the years that some of them's in heaven, some of them still living, that has spoken here. You ladies, you think about that tonight. Well, God's blessed you for all the help. You know, we only get out of things what our heart and our attitude allows us to. When we go to church, we have to go to church with the right frame of mind, the right spirit, or we don't get anything. I still love this church. I love the sermons. I love the special services. I love the services that we have and the opportunity to serve, witnessing, working for God, visitation, knocking on doors, people, God giving us an opportunity. I don't know how many people, Brother Andrew, did we average last year or this year so far on visitation? 7,000 doors. How many workers have we averaged this year? About 35. Do you realize tonight there's a lot of churches that the number 35 on Sunday morning is a good attendance? God's blessed us to have that for 10 o'clock on Saturday. I'm not bragging. I hope you know that. I'm just stirring up our way of remembrance tonight. God is blessed. You know what Sister Candace said the other night in that testimony? I thought about that last 2 days because I know that church. I never preached in that church, but I knew that church then, and I know that church now. They got a good pastor, as far as I know, but I just look around. I say, Lord, I don't know how long you let it keep being this way, but I hope you let it be this way another 25 years. I look around, it's a good Wednesday night crowd, isn't it? Young people, y'all got up there and sang, did such a good job. You love your church tonight?